wise will understand. Daniel was told this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. We need to understand an expression that Yeshua made. He said, no man knows the day or the hour when his disciples asked him a question. But we as believers in this English-speaking land take this literally. But really, we need to look at it from a Hebrew perspective. I was doing some research on this, and there's a Jewish teacher by the name of Avi Ben Mordecai. He wrote a book called Signs in the Heavens, and he explained what this term means, that no man knows the day or the hour. It's truly from a rabbinical Hebrew perspective, and it's a Hebrew idiom, which is a figure of speech. Since Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience, they understood everything he was talking about. When Yeshua uttered these most famous words concerning the Messianic era in Matthew 24, 26, saying, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, this figure of speech was referring to a specific Jewish festival. In essence, he was saying, I'm coming for my bride on such and such a day. Be watching. What would that Jewish holiday be? It's Rosh Hashanah. There are a few different themes that are linked to Rosh Hashanah. They are resurrection, repentance, kingship, coronation, and the marriage feast. Rosh Hashanah is not only the start of the day of the Lord for the millennium, but is also a day of resurrection for us. Now, how can that be? It has to do with the moon, of all things. You see, we're not on a moon cycle here in the United States at all. But there is a moon cycle, and it's ordained by God. It's a 29-day cycle of renewal. In this period of slightly less than 30 days, the moon goes from darkness to light and from light to darkness. And it's not a haphazard occurrence, nor is it from evolution or science. It's from God. God planned it for many reasons. One being, it is a picture of resurrection and renewal. When the moon comes forth, it is the rabbis, the ancient rabbis would say that the moon is being reborn or born again. In Yeshua's day, the moon was so important that there is a festival that was proclaimed at the beginning of every month for the new moon. It is called the New Moon Festival. And actually, Rabbi Shaul makes note of it in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. This is what he said. Let then no one judge you in eating or drinking or in respect to a feast or of a new moon or of a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. That's important. The new moon is a shadow of things to come, as also is Rosh Hashanah. In the coming millennium, the gate of the inner court of the temple facing east will be opened on the new moon, because it says this in Ezekiel 46:1. And also it talks about it in Isaiah 66:23, when it says, all the nations will celebrate the new moon festival every month. And it's obvious from the Hebrew scriptures that in the millennium, God has no plan to do away with his system at all. So, what is the new moon? It's exactly the opposite of the full moon. Every month, as the moon goes through this cycle of renewal, it's called Rosh Chodesh, the head or the beginning of the new month. I got really excited when I was reading this. That's why I'm sharing this, because I had like a bunch of things I wanted to say. But as I delved into this, it was like, this is so exciting because there's some things here that I'd never heard before, and you'll hear about it shortly. So 12 times a year, we have Rosh Chodesh. The moon starts off with its disk being very dark to the naked eye, and over the course of 15 days, it gets brighter and brighter until it reaches its fully white-faced disk and full moon. And so now we are in that period of time. The new moon started last night, but in 15 days, we're going to start Sukkot, and we're going to have a full moon that you can see everything by the light of the moon. Now, the ancient rabbis saw a great lesson in this. Just as the moon has no light of its own, but receives light from the sun, so we too have no light of our own. But we have to receive our light from God. So his light has to be within us. God's light comes from him to be in us, to be shined out to all men. So also like the moon, we must be born again into our Yeshua HaMashiach, and be not just born again once, but continually renewed through repentance. This is why God calls the moon a faithful witness to us in Psalm 89:37. The moon is a witness. It should be a witness to life and to repentance and to all that God has for us. If the moon is so important to God, why do we pay so little attention to it? Because we have lost touch with God's faithful witness to us in the sky. But Yeshua and the people of his day never lost touch with it. You know what? I'm also remembering it. Somewhere in Scripture it says that there'll be signs in the heavens above and in the sky. And that includes with the moon. The new moon is necessary, very necessary for the Jewish calendar. They didn't have a calendar like we do that tells us when the new moon's going to come. They had to have people that saw that sliver of moon come and begin. And by the way, the people that saw that sliver of moon were appointed by the Sanhedrin, and they were called the two faithful witnesses. Remember that, the two faithful witnesses. But they would do that 12 times a year. They did it, you know, at the beginning of the year all the way to the end for 12 times. Today, we don't have a system like that. But God does have a system. And another interesting thing is that there's only one holiday that starts on the feast of the new moon. And that is Rosh Hashanah. There's no other festival that starts on the feast of a new moon. And so to correctly announce the first day of the month, which was very important for Rosh Hashanah, they had these people that were picked out, these two people, these two witnesses. And these two witnesses, they were even allowed to go on a horse and announce in Jerusalem that the new moon had come, because then they could start the festival and the feast, because otherwise they couldn't start that feast and festival. This is one of the main appointed times that God has. Also, it's a rehearsal to be set apart to reflect the events of the Messianic era. We're to pay attention, because on this day, God is going to do something, and he's calling us to wake up. Jews, the Jewish people know, and they practice all of God's holy convocations. And this is the essence of Rabbi Shaul's words, that they are a shadow of things to come, the body of Messiah, Colossians 2:17. You know, any of us can go out and look and see the new moon, but these two witnesses, they were appointed. This was something really special. And what came to my mind is in the scripture, it talks about in the book of Revelation that there's going to be two witnesses that will be witnessing for 1260 days. And I was like, this is, God, this is very, very interesting. These two witnesses that are picked then may be picked by the Sanhedrin. We don't know where they're going to be coming from, but they are going to be there at that particular time. All right. Today, Rosh Hashanah is also observed as a day of rest. A rest in a day of remembrance. And what are we to remember? We are to remember where we came from. We remember that we came from a life of sin, but for the Jewish people, they remember that they were freed at Passover. When God made Rosh Hashanah, when he made this day in Leviticus, he called it a day of remembrance. He was talking to the people to remember what had happened in times past, how they had been in bondage and enslaved to the Egyptians, but also that they were enslaved to sin. And we too have been enslaved to sin, and we need to remember where we came from, but we also need to know where we're going. And so that's why they blow the trumpets also for the shofars. It is to awaken us from the slumber and sleep that we've fallen into. Many of us have fallen asleep in the sins that we have in our life. I know I did for many years. And I'm still being renewed daily as to what God is doing in my life. But I want to be awake. I don't want to be asleep when he comes. I want to have myself cleaned up and out. Right now we are experiencing the end of the season called Teshuvah. That is the 40 days of turning and repenting that began 30 days ago, actually. And it ends at Yom Kippur. So this is a time of repentance also and seeking God's heart. Together, as believers in Yeshua, we can repent at any time of the year. And I know that. But God has called us as believers, as we come alongside the Jewish people, to celebrate his feasts and his holidays, to have fellowship, to have communication with one another, and to worship the Lord, and to recognize that we are part of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world, not the kingdom of the United States. We are part of the kingdom of God. And that is Adonai's kingdom. We are following the one true king, the king of the universe. And the interesting thing is that he has called us to sanctify this day to remember him. I was thinking when I was reading that we are to sanctify this day and remember that he is the king of the universe. I remembered what Yeshua said to Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And I thought, wow. And he was always saying, my kingdom, it's at hand. It's at hand. It's right here. He was bringing his kingdom into this world for us. And he's the only king that I have ever known or ever read of that has laid down his life for his people. And he's the only one that has risen again and has set for us a remembrance of his rising, of his resurrection in the moon, because it rises and it sets. And it's a reminder for us. So I just think that's really awesome. So I want to finish with this. The first blast of the shofar is a represents that God is the king of the universe, and it's for his coronation that we do that blast. The second blast signifies repentance, and it's the call to search our hearts and repent before the Father. The third blast, oh, I should tell you what the names are. The first blast is called Tekiah. The second blast is called Shevarim. The third blast is called Teruah, and it means to awaken our soul from its slumber sleep. The final blast is Tekiah HaGadol. And it's the longest blast because now we can rejoice with a loud noise and we can shout unto our God. And finally, I want to say this. As the days ahead become harder, it's very important that we stay close to Adonai and to Yeshua. Praying for one another, we know trials will come. Trials are coming and have come upon people. Even in this land, there are trials happening. But we need to become bound together. We should intercede for one another and hear the voice of the shepherd and be sober-minded and learn to trust him in all things. Thank you.